views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome, everyone, to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Each show, we shine the spotlight on helpful techniques, mindsets, lifestyle, and inspiring stories to help you get through, not over, life's challenges. Purposeful gatherings, festivals, organized events, parades, concerts, shows, and fiestas, my favorite. These experiences all add energy and movement to our lives. And this may be by other music, food, art, and the crazy talents people have to share. There's excitement of possibly traveling to an event, or perhaps it's just being exposed to a new culture. All of these opportunities we get to share with a large number of people, bonding, celebrating, learning, and even healing, accomplishing good deeds. Today's show is all about festivals, and I couldn't think of a better guest to have on the show than Jordi Lishman, a close friend, artist, metal sculptor, and festival expert, as he has hosted and been to festivals worldwide. So welcome, Jordi, to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me on your show. It's exciting to hear what you do.
Oh, yes, actually, because you've been a listener, and now you get to be a guest, and people get to listen. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I
really, really was so excited, and I could only truly think of you to have, because when I first met you, and then I really got to know who you were, because I have been to your own personal festival.
Mm-hmm, yeah, the Woodlawn Art Festival.
Woodlawn Art Festival.
Art and Music Festival, yes.
And you can't imagine putting more things together. And actually, I think I had my first, what are those things called? Hold on. Cornbread muffins. And,
Really? So,
and I haven't had one since 1997, so I was at the
house. Yeah, we broke out the corn for that festival. It was like all a bonanza.
And you know what's funny about festivals is the word festival usually actually started back in the day about agricultural celebrations.
Yeah, it's like feast, right?
Yes, yes. So what I'm so excited for you to share, we're going to go through a bazillion things, is that you've really had a lifetime of festivals from family to yourself. So tell us what is a festival to you, and why do you just seem so, you just love them and are so good at them?
I don't know. I kind of got whirlwind away when I was 16. Actually, I was 15. I had a note from my parents across the border to go to a Grateful Dead festival. But I guess even before then, my parents would take us to festivals and would have festivals of some kind. But, you know, a festival is a really kind of staple in a human's experience, as far as like what we've been going through for the last many thousands of years, because we would all get together when we created a huge bunches of food during harvest seasons, and you know, have a big party, and everybody would eat and feel great. And it kind of, you know, has evolved into many different things now. When I was younger, we would go to festivals, and it would be much like that, usually harvest situations, and there would be all kinds of food and, you know, entertainment and, you know, all kinds of beautiful things happening, music, art, all those kinds of things. And then I kind of got you know, I loved it when I was a kid, but I never thought that it would be something I would do all the time. And then when I was in high school, I was kind of a misfit, and I had a friend that was doing the Grateful Dead tour. So I left with them thinking that I could sell some of my talents on the road, which I did for quite a many years. It was a great life and I got to see all of the United States except for Alaska and Hawaii. Those are the only two states I never went to.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, it's funny. Somebody just posted. I'm trying to remember who that was. Somebody just posted on Facebook today that most of Americans have only seen. Oh, gosh, I wish I could remember this properly, misquoting it. But most Americans have only seen between 10 to 12 states. And so here you are, Canadian. And
yes.
That's so cool. Now, when you say you did art, you want to sell your art whilst out and about with a concert. Explain that, what that is and how did you go about doing that?
Well, when I started, I was making leather pouches for holding your mojo. That's what we used to call it. So it would be a leather pouch, and you'd put crystals and herbs and different things that you resonate with that you wanted to carry with you. And so I would sell these on a stick, and I would hang them off there. And I made a whole bunch before I went, and I brought some leather making stuff so I could do it on the road. But it wasn't really very lucrative because I wasn't making very much money at it. I, you know, hopefully sell one or two at a festival. And I didn't like – it wasn't like – a thing where I would go and I would pay for a venue or a booth or something like this, and you put out artwork. It was basically a bunch of people that would follow the Grateful Dead around and set up a venue in the parking lot they call Shakedown, and people would sell stuff. And I was one of those people. So I would make like maybe $10 to $20 at a show, which would be just enough to pay for some gas and to get me to the next show and to buy me a veggie burrito or something like this to keep me going. But eventually what I started doing was painting, because when I was in Mexico with my parents, I saw these people doing paintings to spray paint and space and different fantasy kind of things, and I really loved it. So I experimented with that at home, and I started doing some crude paintings. And then one night I decided that I would just break this out, and within like an hour I'd made $300. So I was like the hero, and we bought a case of beer, and we went
Woo!
To... We went to a hotel room and had a shower. So, then my festival experience just continued from there.
Because now you've got the way to be able to be a part of this and tour around. Now, isn't that anywhere? When I think of festivals, I am thinking of people that are selling their artwork, that are selling those little leather pouches. I mean, I remember my dad bought me like a leather, it was kind of three straps or strips or something that was kind of woven together. They called it something like a magical knot bracelet or something. And yeah, these little things, they're just little trinkets and memorabilia from being at an event, because really festivals hold a lot of energy. Like everybody's, like when you were there and selling your art and you got to exchange that, you got to go home knowing that all those people had something you created as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a neat feeling, because I've sold thousands of paintings over the United States. I have no idea where they are or who has them, but you know, there's lots of my artwork out there, which is kind of great to think about.
You're scattered. And so let me rephrase that. When was the first time you hosted your own, not with your family, but like your own at Wigwam, your own festival?
Well, yeah, we have a little art festival here, which has been lots of fun. And basically, when did we first do it? It was 5 years ago, I think now. Yeah, no, maybe 6 years ago now. Yeah, that would make sense. 6 years ago. And it's been biannual because it was a lot of work, but it was real a lot of fun. And basically what it was is I invite all my friends and family that are all artists and musicians, and we basically, because I have access to a main road, we put out a sign inviting them, you know, anybody in to come and purchase art and to hear music, and encourage them, if they hear the music and they like the music, to hire the musicians for their parties. So it's basically a promotional kind of cross culture of all of my friends and family, and it still stands today. We're going to do it this year in July 8th and 9th, and it's basically free. No, it is free. It is free for any artists who want to vend their own kind of handmade stuff. I don't like promote people who are, you know, selling art that they purchased from. Like, there's places to get it overseas where you can, like, buy lots of art and set up your own shop. But it has to be something you created is the whole point of it. It's artisan kind of thing. And it's in Ajax on Westmeath Road, just south of Roslyn. So if you're planning on coming, we don't have a website. We don't have a advertising basis other than 2 weeks before the actual event. I'll put up the sign on Westmeath Road. So if you want to check us out, it's the 8th and 9th. just south of Roslyn on Weston Road in Ajax.
Always fun. And it really has that festival feel. And I was trying to think about if I were to, I mean, you know, one doesn't have to do this, but if I was trying to distinguish a difference between a festival or a show or an event, like just like what makes a festival? And I'm trying to, how is there a way that you can specifically say, oh yeah, and I was definitely at a festival. It wasn't a concert. It wasn't a show. Like, you know, what is it?
What is the biology of a festival that makes it a festival?
Exactly.
That's a good question. And I think it's not an answerable one really, because I think they're all different animals, because all different festivals tend to have different things and they shape into different kind of modes, right? Like what's the difference between a concert and a festival? Well, concerts usually one band, where festivals usually lots of bands. However, back in the day, festivals never had bands at all. Maybe minstrels, if they were lucky, but you know, it was really about the feast and about the eating. So, is a festival like, could it just be a corn roast? I think so. I mean, I don't think there's an actual defining kind of thing that you know you go like. I think on Wikipedia it talks a little bit about different festivals, but generally it's referred to as you know, an event with many different musicians at this point. Whereas,
right.
You know, that's obviously evolved and changed. Whereas, you know, there's also like basically a kind of religious festivals too, right? Where it's all about a ceremony and a ceremony becomes a big part of it. So ceremony can be a part of festivals as well. We do a little ceremony here for our festival. And a lot of the festivals that I love going to, there's ceremonies happening all the time. Sorry, what were you going to say?
They kind of, I was just thinking when you said a little ceremony prior to it, I'm kind of thinking of grace before a feast.
Yeah, for sure. We do grace, we do spirit plates, we do spirit pies, and like a little spirit tree. There's different things that we like to have fun with.
And we are going to end up being cut off to go into commercial, but because I want to talk a bit more about the healing type of, not just ceremony, but healing festivals, like celebrating health and healing and bringing the energies together.
Yes.
Before, because I know it's going to get cut off, but I was going to say I was at a rally yesterday, and I haven't heard that word for a long time. Oh, okay, we'll be back in 2 minutes, and I want to say rally and healing.
Okay, we'll hear about it when we get back.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
And we're back talking about fun festivals and the energy it all creates and everything. And I just want to finish that. It's from yesterday. I got to do the thing, actually. I got to do one.
Right.
At a rally. And I haven't heard that word for a long time. And I thought, huh, that's a good word. Let me check that word out. And every kind of gathering that we have, and I think this is why I really want to have this whole topic, this whole show today about all these kind of events, is that something really changes when large numbers of people get together, whether it's that message that they're trying to spread mm-hmm. or their service they're offering. I mean, they were even offering free haircuts at this rally yesterday for anybody who needed one. Just as you said, like, you are so happy enough to make enough money that you guys could get a hotel room and have a shower. There's a means to the end there. And so, as the same as there's in celebration and feast and festivals and things like that, there's also healing. I don't want to call them healing festivals. Well, maybe they are. I'm going to ask you about them. But you actually got to take part in some snazzy worldwide things here. So there's one in particular I was going to ask you to share with us. It's about a gathering, and I correct me about the word there, about a healing ceremony that you've got to participate in.
I've got to participate in lots of different healing ceremonies.
Oh, that's true, actually.
Yeah, there's the one that I think that you may be referring to is the Sundance.
Yes, the Sundance.
Yeah, I Sundance with the Lakota in what's it called again? Sundance Lake in Indiana. And it was beautiful Sundance there. Their chief, Red Jumping Spider-Man, or Steve McCullough, is still performing that ceremony. I really have to go back there because been too long. It's always in July, so I don't know if I'll make it back this year, but it's been too long since I've been to my Sundance. But I Sundanced with them for 4 years and did my whole mission there. And it was it was one of the most amazing Sundances I had ever been to. And like, as far as festivals go and Sundances, I don't know. They're kind
what
of
is a
cross
Sundance? Like,
culture.
What does that look
a
like?
Sundance was a ceremony that was created long ago to present to the females, but it's kind of changed because they found so much healing energy in it, I guess. It's also kind of like a new year for the Lakota people at that time. And what they do is they create a ceremony where everybody puts their attention into this particular tree, which is carrying certain vibrational things. And that vibration is supposed to be sent out into the universe for our ancestors that are far beyond the stars to hear, and for that energy to return to us and give us the healings that we were asking for. And it's an amazing thing what happens when all kinds of people get together and pay attention to something. Like you said, a festival is a great place to also, I mean, like back in the day, like we talked about, it was about harvesting and feasting. But at the same time, it grew into something more like the fairs. Country fairs were all also about bringing new technologies forward and getting people to understand things. The Native Americans, you know, understood that attention itself is a very healing and changing thing. Like at a rock concert, it's well known that performers on stage have changes that happen to them because of the attention. Some of them might be thought of as more like the increase of libido is a common one, but there's all kinds of different things that happen when you get all kinds of attention put onto you, right? It's a for sure energy of some kind. So, I mean, it's been amazing to see different festivals in different lights. Like one, like the Envision Festival, which happens in Costa Rica, there's healing ceremonies happening there and people having sweat lodges and people, you know, doing dances as well as performers going on a stage and, you know, getting their attention and giving this performance that they focused on creating for so long.
Isn't that beautiful the way you, I love how you're wording all of that and sharing this with us, because even what you just said there is the performers themselves, as they share the challenge, they're receiving, you know, they're receiving energy. And I love that, that they got, you know, that they have experienced a shift or a change. And I have a silly question, but how does how is the tree selected?
The Sundance is around a tree, and basically, they cut down a tree and they carry it. The tree is not to touch the ground, and they resurrect it in the harbor. And as they put it into the hole that they dug for it to sit in, everybody ties their ropes and their prayer bundles into the tree. And the prayer bundles are basically wraps of tobacco with different colors, and they put their prayers that they're asking for into the tree. And then this tree is then put into the hole into the ground. And in the hole, they put a bunch of different herbs and a few organs from a buffalo that they've, you know, slaughtered for the actual ceremony that will become the meal at the end. And then the tree is erected and pat down and held in place and made sure that it's really strong. And then everybody dances around this tree for the 4 days. And during that 4 days, the tree actually changes and goes through autumn and dies. And it's that movement of that tree spirit going to the spirit world that carries the prayers. And this is a lot of the symbology, as well as I believe it's actually physics as well. I really do believe that the attention and all this kind of stuff, there is another form of energy that we're not really keyed into in science yet, but it's there somehow. Difficult to measure scientifically. It's easy to feel it as a person, and mm-hmm. it might be just a psychological thing. I always have to revert to that, but from things I've seen, I can't say that it is entirely. So the other thing is the sun dancers, they don't eat for the 4 days that they dance, and this increases your attention, because attention basically is the lush flow of consciousness to help you arrive to the goal that you're wanting, right? There's mm-hmm. there's the wanting, then there's the focus to attainment, and then there's the having. So it's this focus to attainment, that the energy that, you know, is being conducted in the ceremony to help with all the healings of all the people. And the way they select the tree is they find a tree that looks like a tuning fork, and it's a cottonwood tree. It's been traditionally used for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, I imagine. And it looks like a tuning fork because in the middle of the tuning fork goes the medicine bundle made by the medicine man who's there and has the greater eye on the actual flow of the energy and directs it to create the machine that sends the prayers into the deep places. Mm. That's how I've been explaining it. But, you know, most concerts I go to don't touch on any of those kinds of things. However, I believe that there's probably all the same mechanics working behind them, maybe less directed, maybe more. But, you know, it's really the artists that are performing that directed and are the directors of the ceremony.
So how are the sun dancers chosen? Or do you just volunteer, or is there a special placement that you're able to do to become a dancer with your string with the bits of stuff on it?
You have to petition the medicine men and for the reason that you want to dance, and then they'll consider it and they meditate on it. And there's a circle that, you know, of basically mediums that go through and look into it and see whether this is a good idea, because, you know, you don't want a person in that space sun dancing because they want a new Ferrari or whatever.
What? I mean, that's not healing. Come on. No, just
well, you know, maybe that's a healing thing for them, and they would hopefully see that and say, yeah, you can dance for a Ferrari, but it's not normal. Right. I danced for my brother because he was ill at the time.
Yes, and actually, if you would, I'm going to ask you about sharing that story, but before, I just want to make two comments. I think it's so interesting that here we are talking about festivals and feasts and agriculture, yet here's one specific one that they don't even get to eat for 4 days.
Yeah, right. Well, it's actually a lot about eating, because at the end of the 4 days, you really want to eat. And man,
yes.
The best tasting food I ever had after not eating for 4 days.
Yes, and another thing about food, and I love that you mentioned it about bringing your you were able to focus and then therefore put your attention on things better, is my dad. I have moved so many times, that poor man, and I, you know, used to enlist his help to move me, and I learned from him. He'd come over and I'd go, oh, did you fuel up and get a lot of big breakfast in? He goes, oh, goodness, no. He goes, no eating until after. He goes, I need to stay focused and light on my feet. And it's such a dichotomy almost, it seems, like you need food to fuel, but yet you need to also put your – that's so interesting.
Well, food is the medicine. So when you take the food, your body goes to repair itself and regenerate. But you need to get the medicine every day, so it's the focus that helps you get it. So just like in the wild, if you're starving, you're going to be more alert of a hunter, and you're going to get better at capturing or getting or picking or finding or smelling your food out.
That's so true. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, sorry. I have so many analogies run through my brain right now. Okay. So the question that I did want to ask is that, yes, if you'd like to share your story about – I would like to hear your story, actually, about – how you petitioned to dance for your brother, and if you could share with the listeners why, what did your brother
sure. Well, my brother was going through cancer at the time, and the year before I went there, the year before he had the cancer, I went to the Sundance for the first time and saw some amazing things. One of the things that, you know, grabbed me was this woman who had a CAT scan of, or it was a CAT scan, it was a picture. She was talking about the healing practices. It was basically a sonic picture or what, but it was a picture of the tumor in her uterus that she was diagnosed with and given 4 months to live. And then she went to the Sundance, and there was a big healing ceremony, and she apparently got rid of the tumor there. And the next year, she was there with her baby. So not only did she get rid of it, but within the next few months, her situation completely reversed, and she had a kid where they said, not only were you not going to survive, but you could never have children if you did.
Aww.
So I mean, the thing is that modern medicine, you know, usually looks at the statistics of what things are happening. However, there's been lots of things that are out of the statistical norms that do happen. So, pretty obvious to me that she was in total belief that this happened. And that wasn't the only case. And there was many other cases. And in fact, during the actual Sundance that I was with my brother, there was a man who had tongue cancer. And he went in with a big black tongue. And during the healing round, where on the third day people walk through, can actually touch the tree, because the tree is really insulated, so contains the charge of all the energy. But then during the healing round, people are allowed to touch it, and the healing goes through you. Wow. So he was one of the first people that went through. And immediately after, he started convulsing and spitting stuff out, and spitting black tar dripping off his tongue, essentially. And I guess the cancer, or the tongue, ejected the cancer from the tongue. And by the end of the day, his tongue looked like a big black toad. And at the end of the day, it was pink and raw and red and looked like he had been licking sandpaper all day, but it was normal size again.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And it kind of stayed that way for a few days and went back to a normal tongue. So I was, amazed with this. And then when I went home, my brother had gone to the doctor and been diagnosed with cancer. And so I was like, what? This is too bizarre. So I dedicated to him at that moment that, we basically were waiting for the results to come back because the doctor had diagnosed him with cancer but hadn't done all the tests. And so I told him if they came back positive that I would dance for him, and they did, so I did. And it wasn't a straightforward thing, of course, because it's not a very normal method of treating cancer. And there's a lot of fear that occurs when you have a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through a lot and learned a lot about cancer recently. It's been a big topic on my week because there's been a seminar here about it. Essentially, I promised him that I would dance there with him, and it took him a year because he had to go through treatments, but then he eventually came down to the ceremony and he went through a healing round too. And he's still fine to this day, though, who knows why exactly, but it was definitely a contributing factor to it all. We'll never know the truth. We can only see what we see through our eyes. And here we go, commercial again.
Well, more amazing stories when we come back. I'm just going to get to sit and think about that one. It's beauty.
Okay.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Radio's What Is Going On show. If you've been on a spiritual journey and know yourself to be more than just your body, mind, and emotions, yet still struggle to fully love yourself and the life you're living. If you experience childhood challenges that continue to play out as limiting patterns in your daily life. If you long for success in your relationships and career, but keep finding it eludes you. I invite you to join me on the free Journey Back to Love Symposium that I'm co-hosting June 18th to 24th. You'll get valuable insights, tools, practical processes, and gifts from 8 internationally renowned teachers and speakers that would not only dramatically shift your perceptions about love, but also help you understand and integrate all those places where you may have secretly believed that you were broken. So if you're ready to transform your beliefs about love, success, and freedom, and finally put all your perceived limitations, fears, and failures in your relationships and life behind you, visit thejourneybacktolove.com and join me on this free life-transforming journey back to love. I look forward to seeing you there.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And we are talking about the magic and the healing and the beauty and the everything about groups together. And I was thinking about that whole healing factor about the energy and the intention, which, by the way, like I said earlier, so many analogies are running through my brain right now. I feel like I've had an aha moment. But my best friend. My best friend, Shelly, actually plays the snare drum. She's a drummer in parades and fans. And I was thinking how kind of, you know, in a parade, it's a festival, it's an event, it's a show, and how that unity of people playing and drumming together for the beat. And that's kind of like that energy force that carries it. And I was going to ask you, is there a festival or some kind of thing that stands out? Because I know you do drum circles and things like that. If you could share about drum circle energy and festivals and things like that with us.
Well, the drum is definitely a sacred tool for aligning our frequencies, isn't it? Because it pulses so deep and so far. When you're approaching a venue, the first thing you'll hear is the rhythm, right? You hear boom, 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 this crazy noise coming up. And then when you get in there, the music is really one of the things that unifies everybody's kind of experience, because you know, music makes us feel a certain way, and everybody's hearing the same thing, and so we're all feeling the same kind of vibe. So, I mean... there's all kinds of drum circles that are going on, and all of them are healing, I find. I mean, it's so important as a person, as a human, to dive into a community like that, or to be part of a community like this. And it can be, you know, it doesn't have to be a drum circle. It can be any kind of music event where there's people that are sharing this feeling together. I mean, a lot of them happen in churches, a lot of them happen in stadiums, but it's always, you know, been a prominent part of our experience and prominent, like, and necessary for just, you know, healthy living.
Yes. And I have a funny joke, so I just want to share with everybody this. I got the tattoo on my hand that says, I am. However, it is, it's in Old English. And so the Old English letter I looks like a J.
I thought it said jam.
So Shorty here thinks that it says jam, and he thought it was a musical jam. So he goes and brings his guitar over.
Yeah, because you're so musical.
But I think this is, I think that's the people get together to have a jam, you know, like they're, or yeah. Because it really, like you said, it unifies them. And I actually just imagined myself being in a parking lot, parking at a festival, and you're right, hearing the drums, hearing that, just, it starts it. Like you get your heartbeat, you know, you can feel it through the ground.
That's it, isn't it? The heartbeat, like that. Why is music, I always wonder, why is music so appealing? Why are there seven notes that sound all different? And why seven? Why is these divisions? Like, why? But, you know, I think it's a kind of a reflection of our own biology and the deep love that we have for being alive and human and with each other. You know, like the rhythm of the heart and the whole circular system. Like, we are basically a little symphony happening, each one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, too, when we're scared or alone, I think, or even when we're soothing a baby or child, we I do it to my cats. You sing to them.
So yeah, for sure.
Music is that thing. When you... Just because I want everybody to, if they haven't been to a drum circle before, can you share with everybody what that looks like, what your experience has been with drum circles?
Well, it's usually a circle of people drumming. But that's the very fundamental part of it. There's all kinds of different drum circles. I mean, there's Native American drum circles. There's more African-style drum circles. Then there's just kind of everybody having fun drum circles. There's Indian-style drum circles. So, I mean, yeah, it depends on what day it is and where you're at. If you're at a Lakota drum circle, then there'll be one drum and many people with sticks all sitting around giving this one beat. And that's what the Sundance is like. And there's a kind of a constant for the entire 4 days of the dance, and even before and after. There's a boom, 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 boom. And then they sing on top of that. Everybody sings together. And everybody's hitting the drum all at the same time. And this is really to drive in the unifying of the experience. Whereas African drum beats, a lot of time there's more like a concert where there's back and forth play between drummers. The African drum beats are really interesting because they originated so long ago in Africa for their form of communication. And this is a language that's pretty well lost now. Whereas there'd be drummers that would and it'd be almost like a Morse code, but way more complex and, you know, more subtle and with lots more detail. And if you beat on it for long enough, what happens is, you know, you go to a particular place where they're going to be able to broadcast, and they'll start to play the drum, which will echo, which will travel out as a sound wave, of course. And then if you're in the right place, it'll bounce back. And by the time it hits you again, you'll hear it. And that will be the tempo of your rhythm. So you play that echoing cavern. And as that echo comes back, you'll play another beat on top of it so that it goes out louder and comes back and goes out louder. And so you can escalate and you actually play the entire place. And that allows you to carry the sound very far. And then they put in little nuances that they can speak into it just by the rhythm of the drum. And that, you know, basically tells you what's been going on, where herds are moving, and floods have happened, if anybody's sick, if anybody's, you know, where the good food's at. So that's like a very primal part of us as well. But on top of that, they also discuss when the meetings were going to happen, where everybody would come together for trading and for exchanging of goods. And then they would all get together and play and dance and sing and express. And, you know, that's a whole other aspect of the drum circle. But, you know, it's a big part of us. And I don't think there's a culture out there that don't use drums or some kind of percussive instrument. Right. I mean, the Inuits even will, you know, they have lots of hide, so they stretch it over bone and they make drums. Mm. But in every other culture, same thing. Everybody's stretching hides, or they're hollowing logs and putting and just beating on them, or something like this. Like, it's so much part of us that it's actually got to be kind of like necessary for healthy living. Exactly.
So now I have to ask the question: at your Woodlawn Festival, will there be drums? I think Michelle brings some.
Yeah, I can totally be down for a drum circle. We haven't actually scheduled one. This is a good idea, actually. We have mostly just people going up and playing on bands. But what always happens at the end of the night is that everybody gets together and plays. However, we don't play drums because then the police come and tell us to stop.
Oh, right, noise. Yes.
So
isn't that funny? In some
so
ways,
maybe, you know what, it would be a great idea you've just given me is to have the drum circle in the morning so everybody can wake up to some drums, and then we can start the bands because the stage doesn't start until noon.
We kind of wake up the stage. We can unify the stage. It'll kind of be a blessing.
Yeah. So, we usually wake up with yoga. Maybe we can go from yoga to drums to stage.
This is a very good flowing thing. See, this is how fast. And that's what I wanted to ask you. When one decides, say somebody is listening right now, and they're there and they're thinking, I haven't been to an event or a festival, and I'm feeling kind of not empty, but maybe lonely or just displaced from it. And they're thinking, maybe I should start one. Maybe I could just host a festival. It can be small, again, a small festival. It can be big. What are the steps that one goes through to host one, to have one, to start one?
Well, I would suggest having a good space to host your festival. That all depends on where and when you're going to have it. If it's wintertime, you want to be inside, maybe, unless it's a nice festival. I mean, I guess what it really is about venue and about contacting the people that would be enjoying this kind of thing.
So, does somebody have to have an intention for a festival? Would that be a good, like, to get people on board? Or?
I mean, all those things are great. It all depends on the basis that you have. My friends, being artists and musicians, just naturally love to gather anyway, so it was almost like having a festival was something I didn't even try to do. It just started happening and I just went with it. But if you want to start one, I'm sure that, you know, with like, it's all dependent. Like, if you want your festival to be big, then you might have to hire big names, something like this, for people to get the attention. But, you know, if you're just talking with the right circles of people. So, yeah, usually all the festivals, all this kind of stuff have focus points, such as a big name artist or a desire for healing or a connection to a group of people, because that's what my festival is, usually a connection to a group of people that I know through my social group. So we all have the interest of making beautiful art and music. So that's basically the focus. And I think almost all festivals have something to do with art and music. So it's kind of a cop out. But, you know, if you wanted to have one specifically around maple syrup or something like that, there's those ones.
Right.
That, you know, there's all kinds of festivals. You can make one about just about anything, I think.
Just about. I'm thinking now, I want to have a festival because it just sounds fun now, of course. But I want to share it too with, I have gone through a huge shift in my life where I was finding myself almost like recluse, like just doing everything that I could in my own space, in my own control and privacy. And something just, a switch just flipped for me. And I thought, well, I also was sick. I had scarlet fever, and I've shared that with the listeners. And that really put me wanting to definitely be away and indoors for a long time and solo. And so when I decided I'm ready to step out, and I think I kind of jumped on, oh, there's a rally here, there's a festival there, because I could, it was almost like I was being very strongly attracted to a good message. Like, it wasn't just like a festival for, I don't know, running shoes. I don't know what I picked up, but you know, it was something which I don't want
to come to the Adidas Nike's event.
Right.
I do believe in supporting the little guys too. So what was your festival surround? What was the, I can't remember.
Yesterday, because I did say yes immediately to going to that rally, but it was more because there was a good feeling behind it. It was actually called Live. Life. Love is for everyone. And I thought, that just felt like me. I was like, that's what I need. And so I think
love
that
is for everyone, yeah.
Yes. And when somebody decides they would like to attend an event, and I love Fiesta Week because there's good food and culture. But if somebody were to sit back and look at themselves and say, you know what is it, put your attention on, what is it they're needing, and then either go and attend and maybe connect or something, and then could even host their own. Because, sorry, you said 5 years, about 5 years you've been doing yours. Oh, we are going to go. We're going to end up going to commercial. I can feel it. We're like seconds away. But, yeah, there you go. Okay, so we're going to talk about designing a festival when we come back.
Okay.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All righty, so I know we left off there about how to design one, how to have one, how to host one, but before we do, we have this, our last little segment, I'm so excited just to have you share a few more stories just about worldwide festivals. Well, because you said, actually, you just mentioned you just came back from Imagine, Envision, right?
Envision, yeah.
Imagine.
Costa Rica.
Yes. And so now that's just, you've been there before. I'm pretty sure, like, not Costa Rica. You've been to Costa Rica before.
This is my second time.
Yes.
Okay. It's my second time to Envision, so I knew what I was getting into.
Right. So with all these kinds of different festivals, they have a goal. Is there anything different about Envision that would be, you know, different than the regular festivals, or take it up a notch or something like that?
Well, it's a very yoga-based festival. It's a very conscious-oriented festival, and a lot of people go to this festival because they don't want to take drugs. So drugs is a thing that people do at a lot of festivals, recreational drugs for opening the mind, and I'm sure it's a wonderful experience, but I think, you know, it's also a time where you can be very vulnerable on drugs. Mm. So I also kind of really enjoy Envision because there's a lot of people there that are purposely going there to not take drugs. So mm-hmm. that's a great thing. And they have 8 pillars that they talk about.
Oh.
And the first one's community. So the festival itself is based on 8 pillars of philosophy, essentially. And the first one's community. And the second one is ecological building. So they're trying to make their festival as environmentally friendly as possible and using only natural things that come, like all the venues, all the tents, all the stages are all pretty well made from bamboo and wood and natural things from the jungle, as well as, you know, all the food there is very conscious, health conscious. The recycling has a great program. The bathrooms are all, you know, basically composting, and it was a really great, well put together festival. I think they're moving away from the composting toilets, though. I think they realize that there's way too many people pooping at that festival, so they're going to have to fix that situation.
Okay.
Let's see. So eco building. What are the ones? I think movement, because they do a lot with yoga. I can't remember all 8. Let me see. What else is there? I'm sure there would be music, art. What do we have there? I don't know. There's a few more, I think.
Actually, you're just reminding me now. I'm jumping all over the place.
Oh, education, I think.
Oh, okay. That would be a good one. Because, yes, people have speakers and...
Yes.
That's an interesting way to start a festival as well, as doing pillars. And I remember there was a ceremony that you've done, or it's actually the culture, I think it's the native culture, that has the 4 directions. And there's a prayer.
Most cultures incorporate the 4 directions within their prayers. But yeah, there's many different prayers that include the 4 directions. During the ceremony, we invite in spirits a lot of the time. So... And most often we'll invite in the spirit of the 4 directions. We'll invite each one of them in as a different thing. And everybody has a different kind of idea of what the different directions are. What my grandpa, Grey Wolf, taught me was that we invite in the direction of the east, which is the direction of the sun being born every day and is the kind of energy of the new and of the beginning and of new relationships and new things, and to honor all those things. And as we also invited in the spirit of the West, which is where the sun goes to set, and is also where the spirits go after they pass away. So we invited all the grandmothers and the grandfathers that have come before us to be part of the ceremony, as well as the energy of letting go and the energy of moving on. Mm. We invite the North, where the winter comes and the cold blanket that covers us and that pushes the leaves back into the earth like a blanket of heat that will cover you and push your prayers back into your body. This is a sweat lodge prayer, so it's all about the heat again. And then the south is where the sun shines from, where the ever-penetrating light of truth comes into your life and shines through you. So one of the things is, in the sweat lodge, it gets very, very hot, and you have to find ways of dealing with that uncomfort. And one of them is to imagine the heat moving, passing through you like you're clear, and all the different, you know, worries and troubles and things that cause you to catch and hold on can get shone through and kind of cleared out. So those are the 4 directions there. We also always include the direction of down, which is the Mother Earth.
Sorry? Of which direction?
Down.
Down. Okay.
Yeah, because there's north, south, east, and west, and then there's up, and then there's down, and then there's the center. So down would be the Mother Earth and the basic, you know, the very footing of our existence and how she is our body and we are her body. And then we talk about up, which is the Father Sky. And the Father Sky is where the celestial emanation that came to seed our planet came from, and where the star nations exist, and where the people who are our ancestors came from as well. And then we talk about the center, which is the true point of origin for every single one of us. And as each one of us has the center of our heart, our circle, our sweat lodge will have a center. And all of those sweat lodges that people are taking part in, or all the ceremonies that are taking part, will have centers that I'll focus into the earth as our center, as the earth has the sun as its center, as the sun has the Milky Way as its center, and as the Milky Way has the galactic central point as its center, and then all the centers that are in between those centers.
I'm feeling like even the stars have their festival now, because I'm imagining them with all their ups and downs and centers and east, north, you know, all the, and now they're having a little festival and a party up there, because they do create so much.
Yeah. The stars are all dancing around central points. And it's the way of things.
But with all this, it's just such a beautiful, it's also too, in Canada, this is our season. It's getting to be summertime, and where we can be outside with proper shelter and water. And it's just such a beautiful healing experience. But like you said, community and gathering and celebration, all these things, and magic can so happen. And I love that you've been able to literally go around the world. And have you been to, I'm not quite sure, have you been to the East? Like, have you been to Asia to do any festivals, or have you been to?
I lived in Japan, and we did quite a few festivals there, cherry blossom festivals, which are very popular in the spring. Oh. I love. Sakura festivals, they're called, as well as, you know, the Buddhists have celebrations for all kinds of different things that we participate in. So, yeah, celebrations are.
What does a Buddhist festival look like?
Well, there's lots of, the one that I went to was a prayer for a particular, it was a Tibetan Buddhist ceremony. It was a prayer for a particular spirit, I guess. I don't know, they had a name for him, but they have names for all the different spirits that I don't remember. And he was supposedly coming in from the clouds, riding the goat, and we were all supposed to imagine it. We burned a lot of rice and butter.
And rice lots and of butter?
We burned a lot of rice and butter. We had a fire and we burned rice and butter.
Oh,
we almost put the fire out with the rice and butter. So much rice and butter. But this is like when I have my festival here, I have a spirit plate where I, you know, go and I collect food from everybody, and we keep it on the plate and we put it up somewhere and let it go back to nature. Because we're including the expending of energy, life force energy, is part of the ceremony, strangely enough, because you're sending that life force energy into the spirit world, and with it you can carry your frequency or your desired intention. So burning of rice and butter is burning of the potential of all that calories for your body, and all that life force energy that was put into it gets released in that heat, that belly of that fire, and goes to the spirit world immediately. So the spirit world is a really interesting one that I've been dancing with for my whole life, as well as everyone else, I'm sure. But yeah, it's like there's a backflow energy that we're missing that's not visible, so it's hard to tell. But it's like that libido, like that attention energy, and it's happening all the time, everywhere.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing up the whole thing about the frequency, whether it's we're reattuning our frequency or matching our frequency or joining frequencies. I think that's really, maybe that's this is a nice wrap-up, because in a way we think about, why are we doing this? Why do we get together? Why do we have an offering? Why do we want to feel that? And it is about that frequency, because ourselves can get really mumble-jumbled, and that's where sicknesses and illnesses can really.
Yes. Well, to be a healthy individual, you must ground yourself to the group consciousness in some way or another. And this is definitely one of the ways to facilitate that, and probably the best way to facilitate it. I mean, we should get it in our schools, and we should get it at work, and we should get it here and there. But it's not always beautiful and positive and about, you know, what life's really about is about creating that positive understanding of what's going on here and loving each other and experiencing the joys of the world. So that all happens at a festival. And so it can be a very mentally helpful thing. Of course, anything in excess can be bad too. Just like being alone at home for too long caused problems. Being at festivals for too long could also cause other problems. So
another festival. Yes. Everything, nothing in excess. Oh, my dad says such a great thing. What is that line? Everything in moderation, everything, nothing too excess.
I can't see you either. But yeah, it's always a good thing. The balancing.
The balancing thing. Well, just in case we do have any locals who are listening, if we can just share the date, the name, the date, and your location of that again with on.
I apologize that there's nowhere on the internet you can go and find out about this, but if you look up me, Jordy Lishman, you'll find out where it's taking place. Is my website is jordylishman@hotmail.com. Or sorry, that's my email. It's Jordy Lishman, www.jordylishman.com. Sorry, and that's GeorgeLishman. And the festival is July 8th and 9th. Starts at noon and goes to 11 on each day. Except on Sunday, I think it goes to 10, yeah, so we might put you out early. But it's free festival. If you want to vend your art, basically you have to fill out a waiver saying that, you know, we're not responsible for it if the wind blows and it flies off or whatever, you know. You kind of have to take care of yourself. If you are vending art or you're performing art, because we have all kinds of different artists. We have culinary artists. We have healing artists. We have musical artists. We have visual artists. We have movement artists. We have performance of all kinds. So if you want to do any of this kind of stuff, you have to contact me soon because the roster is filling up. And it's, like I said, free July 8th and 9th in Ajax.
And if anybody is even, and if anybody is not local, they can come out too. So thank you so much.
For
the absolute pleasure having you. And we'll post everything on Facebook for everybody. Thank you so much.
It's been a joy. Can't see you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.